Now to the Word of God. So let's pray, okay? Lord, thank you so much for this time this morning. Thank you that you allow us to put this time aside for the preaching of the Word and for church. And Lord, I just pray you would speak to us. Use your Spirit to convict us, to encourage us. Lord, may you be glorified. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I didn't actually see a bulletin this morning, but maybe the title of the sermon is in there. The Journey, Aging with Grace as a Christian. And perhaps you're wondering, why on earth is a missionary talking or preaching on the subject of aging? Well, let me tell you why. A couple of months ago, Megan and I were visiting our son James, who lives in Dubai, and we passed through Istanbul in Turkey, and we were in the airport going from one flight to the next. And suddenly, we saw this sign which says this. I took a picture of it. Family lane of family and plus 65 transfer passengers fast track. And I thought, whoa, that's us. 65 special lane. I love that. The special lane for older people like us. This is the most exciting day of our lives. So we went to this lane and we felt really special, okay? And then in February, we went to Indiana. And check this out. Senior parking Sundays only. Yes! Can you celebrate with me? It was like we parked, went into the church. It was like the coolest moment in our lives. I'm thinking, wow, we've arrived. We are old people now. We're there. And then I thought, oh yeah, we're old. It stuck with me deeply because though I know I'm aging, in my heart, I sometimes wonder if somehow I'm the exception, that I'm not really aging like other people. You know that feeling? Well, these two epic moments, Istanbul and Indiana, reminded me that there are no exceptions. Aging happens to everyone, to me included, and nothing will stop it. Now, when I started thinking about this, I realized another aging reality that I've noticed many times is that many people, as they age, become bitter. Old people can very easily become negative and grumpy and difficult and unpleasant. And I'm honestly, this is kind of a joke, but not really, scared to death of becoming that way. That really scares me. And there's an added component that I want to mention here, considering that Megan and I have been missionaries for 40 years. Missionaries age as well. And being an aging missionary adds several challenges. In our case, we've been over there for 40 years. It's been actually a wonderful life of service, very fruitful ministry, as you saw in the PowerPoint. We have zero regrets. We would do it all again if we had to, no problem. However, there are some real challenges we are beginning to face as we grow older, and that we really didn't think about when we first went out 40 years ago as missionaries. For example, do we retire like normal people do? And if so, where? Our parents have all passed away. We have three children, but they're living on three continents. One lives in Miami, one lives in France near us, and one lives in Dubai. How do we navigate that? Now, we gave our children an international life, which has been very exciting. John William lived in Morocco for 5 years and has traveled the globe. He's a businessman. James has lived in Dubai for 8 years. He was a flight attendant and now into real estate. Kimberly has been in France for most of her life. That's great. It sounds really cool. But the question is, where do we go to retire? I mean, is that even the right thing to do? Which continent do we go to? For now, as health permits, we can travel to go see them. That's great. But what happens if we can't travel anymore? What if our health diminishes suddenly? What happens when we are so old that we need to move into some kind of retirement home? Where do we go? What country? What state? If we come to America, what is affordable? What is not? Who would be our family? And I mean this, what church would adopt us? Our son in Dubai, James, came up with a really original idea. He said this. He said, Mom and Dad, get a place in Dubai. So they, you know, there's a Burj Khalifa. They live literally right next door. He said, we'll get a place. He's in real estate. We'll get you a place somewhere right there. We'll hire a couple of Filipino ladies who will take care of you as you grow old because the Filipinos are super nice people and they love old people. And he says, quote, Mom and Dad, you can just grow old and die in Dubai for half the price of France and America. Wow, that's a sweet deal, man. It is a sweet deal. So, do we head to Dubai and, like, die for cheap? Then maybe we should do that. So, it's funny, but it's actually, these are real questions we're actually having. That's the weirdest thing of all. So, you can come and see when we're over there, okay? So, that's where missionaries could start being tempted to start comparing ourselves with folks back home that did not go to the mission field, who built a kind of normal life, at least in our eyes, a normal life here with family nearby. In fact, last night, you know, Rick and Kim, they had Luke over there and his wife and their little baby, and that little baby is like perfect Gerber baby, you know, I mean, unbelievable, never cried, just, and we're all holding it. And I, you know, in my heart, I envied them. I broke the 10th commandment. I was coveting that. But then, of course, I confessed it before I came to church this morning, okay? But I mean, you know, so will we ever have that kind of family life? Well, it's going to be a little complicated to know how to do that. So these are just challenges that we have. But being bitter is not the right solution, because God called us, we went, and God will take care of us in his plan. So there are simply some of the challenges that we must face as we grow older as missionaries, but as we all have to grow older, we have similar questions. So when Rick asked me to preach today, I thought I'd take advantage of his friendly invitation to preach to myself. And you are welcome to listen if you'd like to, okay? Because we need this. I need to hear myself on this one. So let's start with a few statistics. In Switzerland, where we are church planters, a country of only 8.5 million people, 1.8 million people are 65 and over. In France, where we live, 14 million people are 65 and over. And in the USA, 59 million people are 65 and over. The average life expectancy worldwide is 71 years for men and 75 for women. In Switzerland, the average life expectancy is 82 for men and 85 for women. Do you know why? Simple. Chocolate. Okay? And in America, the average life expectancy is 75 for men and 81 for women. Folks, I am 68 and a half, okay? I'm only 6 years away of my statistical death. 6 years away. She kind of makes you think. Now, there are certain physical signs that go with aging. And one of the hardest things is to lose stuff. You know, there's a whole process of loss. For example, loss of beauty. Look at me, for example, okay? I mean, you know, wrinkles appear, loose skin. If I took my jacket off, and I will not, right here, there's some loose skin, big time, okay? It's just kind of funny how that happens. Look at this spot. It's a new spot. I'm going, whoa, a new spot. So when you're old people, you're going, ooh, that's a cool spot, okay? And your hair changes color, and it turns gray if you have any hair left. We limp a bit more, we talk about our aches and pains a bit more, and we conclude that we're just not as beautiful as we used to do. Now, my wife still thinks I am gorgeous, okay? So that's really cool, but she obviously needs cataract surgery. I'm kidding, I love you, okay? That was a joke, okay? Oops, I'm in trouble today. No, we lose hair, we lose sight, we lose hearing, we lose mobility. Eventually, we'll lose our driver's license. That's critical. That's complicated. You lose independence. You lose your job. You lose memory. You lose agility. Wait, I can't remember what I was going to say. No, just kidding. You know, your body parts need to be replaced. Hips, knees, in my case, brain. I mean, and another problem is keeping up with technology. For real, you know, with my phone, I get so confused. Thank God I've got a young wife. I said, Meg, can you figure this out? And she can still. I got to tell you a story about her. It's amazing. It's a side note, but at Ascend Camp last week, Steve Stone is a sound guy. He had a big t-shirt, sound guy. And he did a great job with the sound. Well, take a wild guess who the sound person is in our church plant in Geneva, Switzerland. That's the person who sits behind the mics and does all the sound and, you know, all this stuff. Ready? My 67-year-old wife. No joke. She is a sound person. And I'm quoting her, that is when you know your church is really desperate. But here's the whole story. We do have a sound guy, but he's often absent. So We needed someone, so she stepped in and said, look, I'm willing. I hope someone else can do this, but I'm willing. And so she stepped in and did it. And I thought, the moral of the story is if you think you're too old to serve, think again. Think again. You're never too old to learn a new trick. So if you'd like to go out and do the sound right now, you're welcome to do that, okay? So, you know, there's more losses. There's a loss of dreams. Older people can look back and regret many things and decisions in their lives. Maybe things didn't go the way they wanted to. They compare themselves to others and feel like failures. Job 17:11, listen to what he says. He felt this way. My days are past. My plans are torn apart. Even the wishes of my heart. I mean, Job was lamenting the fact that his plans had just been disrupted by his health issues. It's hard. And you lose relationships. How many old folks have broken relationships with their own children? What a tragic loss this can be. And finally, the greatest of the losses is the loss of your spouse. That's got to be brutal. That's my biggest fear in life. And I know it's going to happen, well, unless I go first. But I mean, it's either her or me, or unless we die together. That'd be kind of cool. But that's like a Romeo and Juliet deal, but that's not, you're not supposed to plan that. So we're working through that one right now, okay? But you see, the problem with all this is that you can get frustrated and bitter and negative and difficult. Why? Well, sometimes it's just that maybe they haven't thought through and how to prepare for all of this, preparing their hearts for the inevitable. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm trying to prepare for the inevitable. And I'm not saying it's easy, but Christians must learn to glorify God in our aging as well. Folks, growing old is humanity's greatest tragedy because it reminds us that we must all die one day, and we need to prepare for that. So what's the point of all of this so far? How are we preparing for our old age? That's the question. So that's the purpose of this message, to help us prepare with grace for our old age and eventually our death. And if you're a young person this morning, you might think, this is not for me at all. Well, remember those slides? I was young once. Once. You're young today. One day you will no longer be young. Your days like mine are numbered. Whether you like it or not, you will get older. Unless, of course, the rapture happens first. So, to guide us this morning, I invite you to take your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Now, this sermon is what I have called, I've coined a new term, and Rick is okay with it. It's called a theme expository sermon. So it's expository and thematic, theme expository sermon. And Titus is a really interesting little book because Paul reminds the believers of Crete, that's who he's writing to here, that despite their sinful culture, they can be transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, 1 through 5, he speaks specifically to the elderly. And in Paul's day on the island of Crete, these older folks needed to learn to give glory to God in their old age. Let's just read a few verses out of Titus 2. Verse 1, but as for you, speak of the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, but teaching what is good. We can stop right there. So based on these few verses and other verses that we'll look at, I'd like to suggest seven keys to aging with grace as a Christian. Seven keys for aging with grace as a Christian. Number one, accept your aging. It's an attitude thing. As for you, speak of the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be. Then verse 3, older women likewise are to be. Old men, old women. So the fact that Paul is writing to these two categories of people suggests that aging is natural. We can't stop it. But what we can do is work on our attitude about it. So first we have to figure out why we grow old. Answer, because of sin. Genesis 2:17, God says to Adam in the Garden of Eden, quote, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. That's exactly what happened. Adam disobeyed God, he rebelled against God, and Genesis 5:5 tells us that Adam died. Now, Romans 5:12 adds another terrible detail. All generations after Adam also died because of sin. Quote, therefore, as though one man sin entered in the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Oh, so that means technically that we all should have died at the instant of conception, or at least birth, because we were born sinners, since sinners die. But that's not what happened. God's immeasurable grace means that we don't die at the moment we are born. God gives most men long lives despite their rebellion and sin. So according to 2 Peter 3:9, why? So that they can repent and be forgiven in Jesus Christ and be saved. Quote, God is patient, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But how is aging linked to death? Well, the Bible tells us that after the fall, the whole world was cursed, right? Romans 8:18-24 says this, quote, the creation was subjected to vanity, waiting to be freed from the bondage of corruption. Yet we know, listen, that the whole creation sighs and suffers the pains of childbirth. Wow, the tragedy of the world today is that all creation is corrupt and cursed. It is literally rotting and dying a slow death. That's why we grow old. That's why we get sick. And that's why we die. We just have to accept that reality. And whatever people try to do to hide their aging, ultimately it's all in vain, right? Cosmetic surgery, anti-wrinkle ointments, hair transplants. I could probably use one of those. But sooner or later, we'll have no effect. Nothing can stop it, ultimately. In fact, I don't know if you know this, if you're interested in a hair transplant. Turkey is probably the capital of the world for hair transplants. When you fly to Turkey, half the plane is people that are coming back from Turkey with like red, bloody heads. When they have like their new head's gonna start growing. It's really kind of spooky at first, but then once you understand it's a medical procedure, they're all trying to stay young, you know what I mean? So I was tempted, but I decided against it, okay? You know, someone recently said to me, they hadn't seen me in a long time, they said, John, whoa, what's this? This flabby skin under your chin. They said that to me. I said, oh, it's like age, you know, just age. So we have to accept this. We have to embrace it. Number two. Ponder often the brevity of your life. Now again, it's the same word. In Titus 2, he's talking to older men, older women, presbyteros. That is the same word used to speak of elders in the church, but the context here is old men and old women. So it's interesting that older people know full well they have less years to live and therefore think about and consider the brevity of their lives with more sobriety. It is also true that many people try to avoid thinking about the brevity of their lives. My brother was a pilot for a very wealthy guy in America for many years. And one day, this particular man, it was his 75th birthday. And so his staff on one of his properties celebrated this big birthday. You know, they had all the stuff and, you know, happy birthday and trumpets and all that kind of stuff. And the guy walked in, it was a surprise party. He said, take it all down. Don't sing. He did not want to be reminded that he was getting older. Yeah, a lot of people are scared about it. It's interesting to note that longevity has decreased significantly over time. Genesis 5, Adam was 930 years old when he died. Genesis 9, Noah was 950 years old when he died. Genesis 11, Shem was 500 years old when he died. Genesis 11, Terah was 205. Genesis 25, Abraham was 175. Genesis 23, Sarah was 127. Deuteronomy 31, Moses was 120. Joshua was 110 years old in Joshua 24. Eli, 98 years. See how it goes down? Now, what's the deal today? Thanks for asking. Psalm 90, verse 9 and 10. For all our days have declined in thy fury, and we have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our lives, they contain 70 years. Or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, and soon it is gone, and we fly away. Verse 12. So, here it is, listen. Teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. In verse 14, oh, satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Very interesting. Psalm 90 is saying, hey, you know what? If you're 70, you're doing all right. If you're 80, you're doing really well. That was a long time ago. But it says, count your days. Number our days. So you know what I did yesterday? I did it. I numbered my days. I am 68, not month and day, just generally. According to statistics in America, I will live till 75. So statistically, I have 7 years to live. There are 365 days in a year. So if I multiply 7 years by 365, ladies and gentlemen, I have exactly 2,554 days. Yesterday was 55. Today is 54 days. 2,554 days to live. Now, I have a good chance of living a little longer probably because my mom died at 94, Meg's mom died at 98, so we might be around for a long time till I have no idea. But all that to say that we are called to count our days, and why? Why? So that we might present to thee a heart of wisdom. Lord, how can I live wisely for the rest of my life? That's the whole point here, and I love verse 14, that I might sing for joy and be glad all the days. Wow, this is what I need to learn to do in the trials of old age. Sing for joy. Number three, work on your character. Work on your character. Third key to aging gracefully. It's terrible to see elderly persons grow bitter as they age. In French, we have a word for it. It's called mal vieillir. Mal vieillir literally means badly aging person. Remember seeing people like that? They're badly aging. Well, it's interesting that Titus 2, Paul gives this super descriptive list to help them avoid mal vieillir. That's the whole point here. It's interesting. He gives a list of characteristics that should characterize old people. It's very specific. What should we look like? Well, let's look at old men, older men. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. The context, therefore, is chapter 1. Paul is giving Timothy instruction about how to help the church in Crete to grow in godliness. Well, what's the context? Very interesting. Chapter 1, verse 5, he was called to appoint elders in every city. In verse 6, he gives the qualifications of elders through to verse 9. Look at verse 10, chapter 1. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. He's saying that there are some troublemakers that are Jews. There are plenty of people out there who would try and destroy anything to do with the church. And in verse 12, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. And after that, he starts with chapter 2, and what's interesting, he begins by admonishing older people in the church. How interesting. Why start with them? Is that not strange? Well, perhaps the old people in Crete were part of the problem of verse 12, chapter 1. Perhaps they were Cretan liars, evil beasts, and gluttons. And they'd gotten saved, and now they're in the church. But they weren't very sanctified yet, brand new church, and maybe they were causing havoc in the church. And some of them did come to Christ, and their behavior had not changed overnight. And so they needed to put some things really clear here. You know, people in the church that are old can sometimes become control freaks. They've been there longest, and they know best. Paul asked Timothy to start by them. Older people can have a huge influence in the community, good or bad. In fact, in the last 40 years of church ministry, we've had 3 major church conflicts over there. 2 out of those 3 were with grumpy old men who simply wanted to take me out. True. It can be really complicated. So in 2:1, he says, teach them things that are fitting for sound doctrine. And then he gets really specific. Older men, verse 2, are to be temperate. Some versions say sober-minded. In other words, he controls his temper. He's measured. He's sober. He's dignified, number 2, from a root word meaning to be in awe. Very interesting word. So Does your dignity, if you're an older person, older man, does your dignity create the awe of people? Do people look at you and go, wow, that's what a Christian old man ought to be. I want to be just like you. That's what he's saying here. Dignified, honorable, conformed to virtue. Sensible means moderate, self-controlled, without excess, discreet. Sound in faith, I love it. Healthy in his faith, solid walk with the Lord. I love Titus 1:9 about elders. He says that elders ought to hold fast the faithful word which is in accordance with teaching, that they may be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Folks, that's what the men should be able to do. Elders, of course, but all men and old men. Sound in faith, the doctrinal pillars of the church. Then they are to be sound in love. He's known for his love of others, agape love. He's not stingy. He can really sacrifice to help those in need, like being willing to help with a soundboard when you're 67 years old. I mean, I actually mean that. It's a complete act of sacrifice. Sound is totally not Meg's thing, okay? But she's doing it. That's really cool. Sound in perseverance or patience or endurance, not hot-tempered. Or demanding, but patient, calm, without excessive anger. He accepts his lot. So we're not saying that it's easy to be an older person. No, it's not easy. But he accepts his lot and he keeps enduring in the Lord. Look at verse 3, older women. Likewise. Older women need to work on their behavior just as much as older men do. How so? Well, they need to be, first of all, reverent in their behavior. I love the King James. It says this. They are to act as becometh holiness. As becometh holiness. What does that mean? They are to behave as holiness would have them behave in a holy manner. So what does that look like practically? Ellicott says this in his commentary, quote, the elder Christian woman in her whole bearing should exhibit a certain dignity of sacred demeanor. There should be something in her general appearance, in her dress, in her speech, in her everyday behavior, which the younger and more thoughtless sister could respect and reverence, an ideal she might hope one day, if the master spared her so long, herself to reach. Wow, what a beautiful portrait. It's like, wow, I would like to be just like her one day. You know, 1 Peter 3:4 about women says this, let it be hidden, the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Then they're not supposed to be malicious gossips. That's what it says here. It's interesting. The word here for gossip is diabolos. In French, the word for Satan is diable. We say, the diable, devil. Why this word? Well, in Revelation 12:10, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. Gossip, then, is the act of denigrating someone behind their back. It's not talking too much. Paul knows, listen, that old age can yield itself to this temptation. Why? Because older women have more time on their hands. And as one commentator puts it, quote, old age is at times intolerant, censorious, and bitter. Then it says that not to be enslaved to much wine. Well, wine, like drugs, can become an escape or even become a way to attempt to regulate depression. Drunkenness could have been a Cretan cultural problem Paul was addressing here. The issue is clearly enslavement, right? Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Drunkenness is the issue. Older women are to be self-controlled in full mental capacity, not clouded by much drinking. And then teaching what is good, literally teachers of what is good. Older women must ask themselves this question, could younger women in the church copy me? So it's not just the younger women going, oh, I'd like to be like her. She's got to go, huh, will they want to copy me? Will they want to learn from me to live, how to live a Christian life? Look at the rest of the verses. Older women teaching what is good, verse 4, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. How beautiful. Wow. I mean, the church has a wonderful mechanism here. Older people teaching younger people, next generation, next generation, next generation. Keep going until the Lord comes back. I mean, what a privilege. So if you're an older person, man, you have a huge, huge job in this church. Number four. You still with me? Okay. Number four. Fourth key to aging gracefully, behave in a manner worthy of honor. This is kind of flip side of all that. Well, I've kind of already said it, but listen to these verses. So the Bible says that old men are not only to be honorable, but to be honored. Listen to this. Leviticus 19:32, you will rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. I think about this every time I take a bus or a tram in Geneva. I get in the tram, I'm thinking, hey, Bible says, you will rise up before the gray-headed. Well, I'm in there, you know, crowded with people holding it, and all these young people are there in their seats with their phones. They're going like this, you know. I don't even exist. Now, I'm not saying that, you know what I'm trying to say. It's like, it'd be kind of nice if they knew Leviticus 19:32, but in Geneva, most people don't, okay? So, Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. Job 12:12, wisdom is with the aged and understanding in the length of days. So the question is this. Am I, as an older person, here's a question, worthy of such honor? It's one thing to say, hey, I'm old. You need to respect me. Bible says so. So do it. Doesn't sound really good, does it? No. Now that makes me grumpy and demanding. It's another thing to say, or to be worthy of honor, and let people honor you naturally because I'm worthy of honor. I think that's the point here. It's like, am I looking at myself saying, I'm not looking to be honored, but since I am biblically in the position of being honored, am I worthy of that honor? I hate speaking evil of my dad. I love my dad very much. He gave us a wonderful life. My parents were married for 35 years, and then they got divorced. My dad became a severe alcoholic, and he was a banker, but he was also a piano player. He played jazz. He had a big band when he was in college. So he left Switzerland, divorced my mom, went back to Atlanta, and he became the piano player for the governor of Georgia, of the state of Georgia. And for the next few years, he became a total playboy and womanizer. That's my dad. Older man, gray hair, really handsome guy. And he used to call me and tell me about his conquests. And I thought, this is like the weirdest thing in the whole world. It's my father. And I said, you know, I thought, that is just not, does not match dignity. That is not dignified. It's just wrong. So that's the question, you know. Are we worthy of honor by our words, by our actions, by our attitudes? Five. Fifth, get aging gracefully. Decide to live in gratitude and joy. So we've said, you know, older people sometimes have a tendency to want to complain, then tell others about their misfortunes. Well, sometimes we must. We all have trials and tribulations. We need to be able to talk about them. I mean, I'm reading through the book of Job right now. He was very honest about his misfortunes and even wanted to die. I mean, it was really hard. Life can be tough. And there are times when you need to speak of those things. That's why churches exist, so people can come and share their burdens. That's why the whole biblical counseling movement happened also, so that people can go and really share their burdens and be helped, Bible in hand. Helping them is so important. But it's possible sometimes to talk too much. So how do we counteract this tendency to want to be negative all the time and to complain about everything? Well, you counteract it by an attitude of gratitude, where we begin to revise and to look at all the blessings God has given us, even in the trials that we encounter. I love these verses. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, two words. Rejoice always. Two verses after, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all things, comma, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. And 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or grow old or do anything else, do all to the glory of God. So, wow. I read an amazing article recently. Two men did an experiment. They made a pact with each other that for 2 months they would choose to be joyful every day from morning until evening by giving thanks. They concluded that 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always" is a commandment and therefore it should be possible to obey. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 also says that we should give thanks for all things. Hence, gratitude and joy are a choice. You can learn to rejoice, they concluded, always and give thanks for everything. So they decided to simply obey for 2 months. Do you know what happened? The first week it was really fun, weird, funny. You know, they were cracking jokes and stuff. The second week was more difficult. They felt like they were being fake, like they were pretending, like they were being unnatural. And then little by little, these two men got used to this exercise, and pretty soon they realized that everything was getting better for them. Instead of reacting negatively to everything at once, they began to react with joy. Their general appearance and demeanor changed, and they learned that rejoicing and gratitude can actually be learned. They are commandments. So, that's a hard one, isn't it? Oof. That's a really hard one, but what a great thing to learn to be more joyful and more thankful. 6. Accept reprimand if necessary. This is a really weird one. Accept reprimand when necessary. Look at with me in 1 Timothy 5. Super interesting verses. We just kind of like pass over them sometimes, but they're there. Verse 1. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, to older women as mothers, and to younger women as sisters in all purity. Well, the Bible speaks very honestly about the possible sins for which the elderly might need reprimand. That's right, old people, ladies and gentlemen. Let me announce something to you. Old people sin also. That has happened. Because elderly people might imagine that just because they are old, they can get away with kind of anything. No. The Bible describes two surprise. Well, I'm just going to bring one. Let me show you. This is kind of blow you away, okay? In Genesis 19, just talking about some of the sins that older people can commit. In Genesis 19, we are in verse 1, and it says, "Now two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom." So Lot's there. Sodom's bad news. Two angels, boom, show up. Verse 4. "Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both," listen, "young and old." Very clear. The men of Sodom surrounded the house, both young and old, old men, all the people from every quarter, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them." Folks, these are homosexual old men who say, "Bring the men out, we want to have sex with them." It's exactly what's happening here. Old men. Old men are tempted to sin just as young people are, and they are accountable to God just as young people are for their behavior. And the church is called to reprimand even the elderly. That's hard to do. How? Well, first of all, don't spare them. If they're in sin, go talk to them. That's what it says. But don't rebuke them harshly. Rebuke them, men, as you would your father. Imagine having to go rebuke your father. That's an interesting thought. Rebuking your mother for sin, that's hard. But he says, do it. Churches are responsible to do it. If not, the church gets infested with sin. You know, when I was a brand new pastor in Paris, I'd been there a year, maybe 6 months, I can't remember. A young man came into my office. He said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah." So he sat down. He said, "John," he says, "you know what? Can I ask you a question?" "Yeah." He says, "Can I ask you a favor?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Look, could I come and see you once a month? And could you speak into my life and tell me if you see sin in my life and just tell me so I can work on the sin in my life?" So I'm this new pastor, Rick. I'm going, oh, this is like the dream guy in my church. Like, oh, sure. I said, man, that is like so beautiful. I love it. You're such a humble guy. I would be more than happy to do that. Just come on in and we'll talk. He said, great. Oh, he said, can I ask you a second question? I said, yeah, sure. He said, could it be reciprocal? For real. I said, sure. For 10 years, this guy came into my office, talked to me, and I talked to him, and we shot straight with each other. It was the greatest 10 years of my life. It was really neat, you know? Well, it's all about attitude here. Whatever your age is, are you humble enough to welcome reprimand? We need it, folks. I need it. I need it for my wife. I need it for my church, for my colleagues. I've told my colleagues, I said, guys, please, if you see anything in my life, please come and see me. And I said, can we make this reciprocal? Okay, so that's what we do. Great. Last one, number seven. Seventh key to aging gracefully, consider Richard Baxter's thought on aging. Here are some of Richard Baxter's thoughts on aging. Number one, look back at each stage of your life and remember God's goodness, mercy, and grace toward you. Thank him for your health, for your work, for your family, for your home, for your country, for your salvation, for your church, for your money, and I'm adding for your retirement. Isn't it the joy of the traveler to be able to talk about his travels? How much more should a Christian want to talk about God's mercy in his life? Number two, wear a smile even when you're in pain and physically struggling with aging. Listen to this quote. Resurrect your praise if you've buried it. Resurrect your praise if you've buried it. Number three, use the years you have left to instruct those who lack experience in their lives. As an older person, you have wisdom that young people need to hear. Tell them what you've lost by sinning in your lifetime. Explain to them the dangers of temptation. Tell them how God rescued you from times of danger. Tell them about the joy of living a life to the glory of Jesus Christ. Number four, check what comes out of your mouth. Number five, use your time wisely. Don't give in to idleness or laziness. If you don't know what to do, listen, if you don't know what to do, help others. They will encourage you. Number six, it's my favorite. Listen to this one. Don't be discouraged by your aging body. Don't continue to complain to those who listen to you. Here it is. You knew your body was going to age. You had your whole life to prepare for it. So stop complaining. I just think that is like the coolest quote. Hey, we've had our entire lives to prepare for this moment. So we should stop complaining. It's hard work, I know. Believe me, I know. Number seven, live in joyful expectation of the transformation of your body that will come to you very soon. Philippians 3:21. He will transform the body of our humiliation into the body of his glory. Show others how to prepare and show unbelievers the difference this hope makes in a believer's life. Do you know the story of John Patton? He was a Scottish missionary to the New Hebrides, now Vanuatu, during the 19th century. So he was a missionary out to some island in the Pacific. He was born in 1824 and he left a successful ministry in Glasgow to bring the gospel to the cannibalistic tribes of the South Pacific. It was brutal. You should read his book, it'll blow your mind. He lost his wife and child shortly after arriving and several colleagues to cannibalism. But he persevered. He eventually saw a remarkable transformation among the islanders. In a riveting story, what struck me with his life was that when he was 56 years old, battered and bruised by a brutal ministry with great loss, he decided to retire from his missionary work. He certainly deserved it. So what did he do for his retirement? Well, most people would have said, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. Please head on down to Florida or Arizona and just enjoy the sunshine and the beaches. That does sound kind of pretty good, doesn't it? It really does. Well, that is not exactly what he did. Leaving the New Hebrides was simply the beginning of his second life. Because John Patton, 1880, at 56 years old, began a new season of global travel, traveling the world as a missionary advocate to raise funds and recruit missionaries for the next 27 years. This is in 1880. He died in 1907. He was 83 years old. He had traveled the world for 27 years as an old retired man, telling a story, raising funds, and recruiting. So I'm not saying and announcing today that Meg and I will be back here in 27 years, okay, to recruit missionaries and funds for the mission field. I'm not saying that, but why not? If we're still around, I like it in Kansas a lot. It's a lot of fun here, man. Seriously. If you invite me to youth camp, we will by far be the oldest people ever at youth camp. It's incredible, okay? But the point of the matter is this. Are we thinking through how to age with grace and to the glory of God? What does that look like in your life? What does that look like in my life? We have very different circumstances. It doesn't matter. What an amazing journey life is. We know the Lord. I mean, Jesus Christ saved us. We know where we're going. What is the journey? What does the rest of that journey look like for you and for me? And then I ask this final question. What changes do I need to make? What changes do you need to make? I just got cold chills thinking about that. I really did, you know? Life is not easy. We all have trials. But we want to live to the glory of God. I really, really do. You know, my marriage, my home, everything we do, we get bruised and battered on the way. May the Lord help us just go and finish well. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Lord, thank you so much. We love you. Thank you for this amazing life you've given us in Christ. And Lord, forgive us our many sins. Forgive us our bad attitudes. Forgive me, Lord. And may we learn how to age with grace and give you all the glory until the final breath we take. When we meet you face to face in glory, we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.